Good morning.
Good morning.
As you know, my name is Joe. It's just a... I'm so excited. Just so thankful. And it's just such an honour to be able to come in here this morning and really just share with you what the Lord has been sharing with me, you know, for the last month. Last year, really, but the last month has been pretty intense, last couple of months. So... I'm going to be continuing on probably, you know, no doubt from where Gemma left off from last week, sitting down in your kind of like in your sermon, just chuckling because I'm like, this is too much of a coincidence in the sense that you preach on love and the Lord's been teaching me about love. More than that. You know, we've recently had our third daughter. She's 10 weeks old at the moment. So we've been at home kind of like just watching videos, you know, of our other two girls over the last, you know, really 9 years. And something struck me when I was watching those videos, you know, it's just such an honor to be able to have the little ones. More so than that, because in a sense, one can even, knowing Christ, leave a legacy, which is really very important to the Lord. Once we get to know him, he says that there's a time to live. And life, it's a gift. It's not a drag, it's a gift. And over the last, really, year since I've been coming here, the Lord has just laid on my heart so many things. So many things have happened in our life, so many trials, so many waves. It's okay. He's still Lord. I'm still his son. Nothing changes. It's going to be a challenging sermon, this one, because the Lord has challenged me over the last year since I've really come to know him a lot more deeply. So I just want to, as Carol said, thank you for coming. You could have been anywhere else this morning, but you guys chose to be here. It's amazing, you know, that the Lord, he tells us, you know, not to forsake the gathering of the saints. It's very important. I was reading scripture and it says that the whole purpose in the sense of our gathering is to stir one another up. You know, I'm not here to condemn anyone this morning. I'm not here to make anyone leave this place feeling I've got a long way to go. No, my heart want you to leave here knowing that you've got somewhere to go. Not a long way, somewhere to go. Understanding your purpose and your value and your meaning and the reason why you're in this room today and why you're on the earth. You are no accident. No. Yes, here to cheer everyone on. More importantly, I think as what Carol said before, when we leave here, changed, putting on a little bit more of Jesus, understanding him, becoming a little bit more like him. Amen. That's the whole point. So, why did he come? Why did Jesus come? What was the reason? What was the intention? Why did you say yes to him? Why did I say yes to him? And I think the most important question is when you said yes to him, do you really know what you said yes to? Because I was taught I was a dirty, rotten sinner, and he came just to pay for sin. And I prayed the prayer, you know, the prayer, just to go back home. And I thought that was the gospel. He's taught me a lot more over the last year in regards to why he came. Because if that's just the reason, I don't understand it. I never understood it. I went to church for years thinking that. So I would go to church on a Sunday. I would sing. Church I went to, didn't raise our arms. I used to stand like that, sing. It's really challenged me in the understanding of why he came. It wasn't just a prayer to go to heaven. It's to be transformed into him. That's the whole purpose. I can't even find the sinner's prayer in the Bible. The worst thing that ever happened, I think, to me was reciting the sinner's prayer, going to church, singing on a Sunday, feeling fuzzy and warm, and then going out into the world and living like the world. Is that what he paid for? Is that why he came? No. I'm so excited. I've received. Freely I have received, and freely I am here this morning to give. If we miss the reason why he came, church, we're not going to run well. Many that I know attend church. I had one patient who came in, he's a Christian, loves the Lord. He goes, "Joe, I don't go to church anymore." I go, "How come?" "Too many hypocrites." He goes, "Too many people who kind of like say one thing and then do another." My heart went out to him. Not to the people who were doing things, but to him. Because the Lord had taught me he was deceived. He was in trouble. He quit. If you go to church because you're going to kind of like think that everyone's going to be nice and say the right thing and expect everyone to be Lord and make everything else matter most than what matters more important, you're going to be deceived and you're not going to run this race very well. So for years I went to church and I just tried to fit in. I just tried to find a way to really, in a sense, yeah, fit. So I let everything else matter most as opposed to what mattered the most, which was actually him. In the state of the church, I think you can all agree, in a sense, I'm not here to bag the church. I'm here to kind of like, in a sense, bring some sort of conviction as to the understanding as to why we gather, why we are the church. A lot of issues. And the lie, this is the lie. The lie is that Satan has craftily woven himself into the doctrine and basically said, let's just get these guys to pray a prayer to go to heaven and not understand why they prayed that prayer or said yes to the Lord and not have the understanding that it's actually about a transformed life. It's not about your golden ticket to go home. It's about living on this earth and becoming him. That's the whole point of why he came. If you miss that, you're going to be discouraged all the days of your life. There's going to be no victory. You're going to be condemned. And you're going to be deceived. And the evil one, all he's going to do is basically laugh. He's done his job well. In the beginning, God created man and woman. In his image and in his likeness, he created them. So I guess we can say that the value of man, woman, is found in the image of God. We are no accident. We are no mistake. We are very valuable because we're vessels from the beginning to house God, to have him live in us. That's the whole point. The gospel is not an exposing of your sin. It's a bit of a shock. No, the gospel is the exposing of the value of man and woman. Why? Because it removes sin. It takes it away. That's why he came. you know, if it's all about a passport to heaven, guys, and we live without real any change, oh my goodness, yeah, some of these things, I'm sorry, guys, I don't mean to, you know, kind of like come to spank you this morning. But it's just a perversion of grace, let's just be honest. Living for yourself, praying the prayer for yourself. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but if it's all it becomes, it's just grace perverted. There's no change. There's no reason. And I'll tell you what, guys, I really know the devil, he couldn't care less if we go to church and gather together, come here and sing and leave this place not transformed. He couldn't care less. He's actually quite happy with that. If we actually leave this place the same or even worse, he's happy about that. So I attended church for 7 years, guys. No change at all. I'd go to church, can tell my wife in the morning with our two girls, hey, hun, did you prepare the kids? No. Did you? No. So we're running a little bit late and we're fretting and we start to maybe bicker and we start to maybe argue a little bit. Then we get into the car. And I'm rushing to get there. And all the while, all I'm thinking is, Sunday school. They got to go to Sunday school. So we get there, we fret, we run, we rush. We're arguing, there's animosity. Yeah? Open up the door. Kiss the kids. Off you go. Bye. Yay! Yay! We sing. I didn't raise my hands. I was more like that. Then, after church, you know, we gather with the saints, footy, yay, Collingwood. No. I tell you what, Deb, Lou actually prayed for Collingwood to destroy Richmond. So she prophesied and it came true. Anyway, off topic. So we go home, and on the way home, after I've thanked the Lord, you're so amazing and you're so great, before we even get home, we're actually arguing about whether we go to lunch. And at many times, Lou would actually get home and actually cry. I'd make her cry. Because I was just so, you know, religious. Did my duty. I ticked the box to go to church. Listen to me. I'm the man. And that's church. And I know many who will like that. Many who come into my practice, Christians, it's what they say. And I relate to that. So what do I say? What do I say to them? Do I massage their inability to understand? Do I sympathize with them? No. Tried to do that, and the Lord basically said, stop. Tangible presence of the Lord is something, guys. He says, give them truth. That's your job. Love them. That's your job. But give them the truth. Give me the honor to change them. Your job's just to tell them that that's not the way it is. Something's perverted. Something's twisted. We've missed something. It's a simple gospel, guys. It's not a complicated one. It's very, very simple. Guys, I'd love to open up to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 4 to 15. And I'm reading from the NIV. I know it's not the most anointed one, but for simplicity, I kind of like just, yeah. Anyway, it's between me and the Lord. He said it's okay, so it's all good. Okay. All right. Ah, okay. Are we there, guys? Yep. All right. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 to 15. Through these, he has given us his very great precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being what? Ineffective. And unproductive, two very key words for me, in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always remember these things. He says that they know these things. It's in them. But he says you need to be constantly reminded of them. Because the world and the worldly sinful desires are strong. You tend to gravitate towards them. If you don't remind yourself, if you're not in the Word, if you're not reading, if you're not communing with Him, you're going to fall. That's what it says. You're going to stumble. And it's because of perception. It's understanding. See? Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Jesus says, I am the narrow door. He says that the eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye is clear, so to speak, so is your body. So it's how you see. How do you view? See, on your darkest day, on the day that you guys probably transgressed the most, you know, the day that you were the most away from the Lord, he never looked at you and said, why? What have they done? It's too much. On my darkest day, he said, hello. If you say yes to me, if you know why, I'm going to put my spirit back into you. And oh, I can see what you're going to become. I can see your value, your potential, your destiny, your future, what you're going to become. That's how he views us on our darkest day. We have no right to view anyone else differently to how Jesus views them now that he has come. On the darkest day, some of the things that I see in here, I want to have the mind. I have the mind of Christ. I want to see through his eyeballs. And on that day, I want to be able to love the most unlovable person like he loved them. Forgive them, Father. They do not know what they're doing. Another way of saying that is, Father, forgive them. They do not know who they are. But we do, and they're well worth the price. I'm willing to lay down my life to get back inside of them. It says that he came to save that which was lost. It's So what was lost? I've spoken about this, but I keep going over it. His image, his likeness. That's exactly what was lost from the beginning, before Adam ate the tree and fell and transgressed. That's what was lost. His image and likeness. See, before actually Adam ate the tree, he was love. He was completely love. He didn't need it. He didn't seek it. He was it. Soon as he ate the tree, something happened. It's funny, you know. Before he ate the tree, he's talking about Eve and he's like, wife, wifey, hi. After the tree, he says, you? And you put this woman here. Pretty dramatic fall. In a very short period of time, something happened. See, he went from being love because the source of love was in him to then derobing himself and becoming the very nature of our enemy. Seeking. I was saying this last time, you know, said to my wife, I love you. I love you. And all the while, I'm not even really sure why I'm saying that. Lord very, very clearly highlighted it to me. It was because it was just self-seeking and self-centeredness. I was saying that because I just needed it back. It's like I paid a much, much more bigger price than that. I paid the price to put love back into you. You didn't pray that prayer to go to heaven. You prayed that prayer for heaven to come back into you. Heaven dwells in here. I don't know about you guys, but I am trying to contain myself. Because every time, you know, I think about it, even in the car, like people may think this guy's like completely lost his mind. And I'm like, I haven't lost my mind. I'm just completely out of your mind. Oh my goodness, Lord, may your presence enter into that car and do to them what you're doing to me. Yay. Oh man. Oh, guys. I've never really read this before, the message, and I just had it at home. So I just started reading it, and I love this. Guys, it's just so simple. But I'd love to read 2 Peter 1, 4:15, just in the middle. Not all the way, sorry, all the way up to around about verse, I think, 9. Oh, this doesn't have verses. Okay. So it says, simple language. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose faith a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. Why did God choose Israel? Just tell me, why? Well, Israel was supposed to represent him. Did they represent him well? They failed miserably. The church, what's our primary goal and function? To represent him. Absolutely. See, that's when everything changed. It's that understanding of, oh my goodness me. See, it wasn't just about me to go to heaven. I'm representing you everywhere I go. Yeah. Everywhere I go, I'm supposed to be a light, to shine. I'm supposed to be salt. And I tell you what, I wasn't condemned because it hasn't been one day in the last year that I've worked up condemned. 7 odd years prior to that, always condemned. Last year, I'm a son every single morning. Not that I heard the audible voice of the Lord. No. The Holy Spirit stirs you at times, you know, you start to think things. And what I heard was, do you want to know why this last year so much has happened? So much good has happened? Oh my God, I don't know. Jeez, well, because you're Lord, because you love me, you know, because you're the God that can turn, you know, someone like me into a special vessel, because you have that tangible ability to do that, you know, and I'm feeling that the Lord had a bit of a chuckle and was like, yeah, no, that's good, but no. He goes, it's because every single day you've woken up over this last year, you've woken up a son. Sin consciousness has been erased. If you're conscious about your sin, you're going to take your eyes up the cross. You're not going to know why you're here. You're going to be condemned. You're going to be ineffective, unproductive, and Satan's got you exactly where he wants you to be. I don't like getting played. I had a fake ATO lady call me up last Wednesday. And I really thought it was the ATO. And they're like, you have unpaid taxes. We're going to come and arrest you. Right? This is me. I'm like, who are you? No idea what you're talking about. Here's the number of my accountant. Long story short, I was getting played. 45 minutes on the phone, only to be quickened by the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit just says, it's all a game. Anyway, I found out the answer by probing, and I was released from that. But I had that feeling of being played. It's not a nice feeling. See, the danger is to think that when you're getting played by human beings, it actually gives you a license to kind of like, you know, have animosity between the other human being. You're still getting played. The only one that we are at war against is Satan and his minions. That's basically it. He hates God. He hates all of God's creation. He is the opposite, the polar opposite of God. God is light and he is dark. God is love and he is hatred. God is eternal and his days are numbered. And all the time I've come to the understanding that whenever these things are, they're always looking over the shoulder. Is this the day? Is this the day that, you know, Jesus cast those demons into those pigs? They said, have you come before our time? Trembling. I don't like getting played, and especially, well, by demons. Don't let fear grip your heart. And I know it's an easier thing said than done, but the more you stray from the word, the more you're going to listen to the voice of the other, and the more you listen to that voice, the more fear enters into you, and the more you're going to react like the world and less like your father. Stay close to your dad. Can't go wrong. Guys, I'd love to go to 1 John chapter 3. I don't even know how long this is going to take today. Okay. I never timed it. Don't know how to time it. Okay, so 1 John chapter 3. Verse 14 to 24. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. I'd underline this one. anyone who does not love remains in death. Wow. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is the command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. I'll probably stop there. I would go to work and, you know, at work, you'd be surrounded either by people who didn't believe, or work where I'm at, there are actually people who were there who are very religious. So, you know, and I'm the middle. I'm the kind of like the meat in the middle there. And this is my heart before I came to this understanding. This would be my prayer in the car on the way to work. Lord, deliver me from these people. Help me to get through this day. Guide me, Lord. Make it easier for me. May this day go smoothly. I've come to the understanding that that is not Christian prayer. That's a self-centered complaint that no one else is listening to but me in the car. I can chuckle about that. But my heart grieves because I actually know many who pray like that. If you don't understand why he came, and it's not just to go to heaven, but to change you into becoming love, you're not going to run this race well. It's going to be about you. When he says the first thing you must do is deny yourself. Get yourself out of the way so that all of a sudden he can start to flow through you. See? Going to church, it's not just about doing this right. See? If you do this right, but you don't love people, this is nothing to him. It just is. And I know that this challenged me, guys. Please hear my heart. This really challenged me. Because for years I used to go to church and sing. And then I would just not love. I would go to my mum and dad's house, there's always issues and stuff with family and stuff, you know. And I tell you what, my prayers were also very similar. Lord, change them. Change them. And he's like, a year ago, I changed you. Why don't you love them? Love them. Could you imagine Jesus going to Golgotha with the cross, having a moment of human reasoning? Dad, we got to regroup here. We need to have a chat. Barabbas, are you kidding me? He kills people. I raise the dead. He causes conspiracy. I bring peace. They choose Barabbas. I'm done. These people are perverted, God. I'm done with them. You know what? You hit me one more time, you see what happens. I'm done. I'm not going on that cross, God. I'm not doing it for them because they're not changing. They're not changing. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of my effort, God. Beam me up, Dad. I'm not going to the cross. That ever come out of his mouth?
Never.
Forgive them, Father. They do not know what they're doing. They've forgotten who they are. Me and you know who they are. I am willing to pay the price to bring them back into the garden as if they've never eaten the tree. If those words never came out of his mouth, they should never come out of ours. That's just the way it is, guys. Human reasoning. Be careful with that. Because it's always a justification to preserve yourself when he says, lay down your life. I want to continue with scripture, guys. 1 John 4, so just the next chapter. 7 to 12. Just over the page. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This next verse, this blew my mind when I read it. I don't know about you, when I read this scripture, when I read this verse, oh my goodness me, my mind just... Cocoa Pops in the morning, just snap, crackle, rice bubbles. Yeah, snap, crackle, oh, pop. Oh my goodness. Whoever does not love doesn't know God. Because God is love. Oh my goodness. And this is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an anointing sacrifice for our sins. To remove it, it's an exposure of your value to him. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him. I would underline verse 13. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. We are made of the same stuff as him. Christian means little Christ-like one. A little walking Jesus. There's no bigger compliment than that I get when someone comes into my rooms and they go, Joe, are you a Christian? I'm like, oh. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, I follow him. I follow him. And I thank the Lord that he has so transformed my heart that someone that doesn't even know me goes, oh my goodness me, kind of like this is reminding me of someone. A little Christ-like one. Especially when you get that compliment from your wife sometimes. You know, lots changed in a year. Yay. God is love. Sorry, from verse... No, what I'm going to do, guys, I'm going to go back to that one after. I'm going to go back to that one after. He also says, guys, that you know, we perish for a lack of understanding. That's my intention here today. To be a mouthpiece for him, to bring you understanding. So that when you leave here today, you know, you're going to react differently to when you first maybe came in. For those, in a sense, who have been living this, I cheer you on. You keep running this race. You keep fighting this good fight till you get home, till you get the prize. For those who are being challenged, as I said, don't get condemned, convicted. This, you know, The reason why they murdered Jesus is because they heard the same gospel as the ones who believed. The only difference is that the ones who killed him were not willing to change. That's the difference. They heard the same gospel. They just didn't want to change. So what did they do? They whipped him. They destroyed him. They put him on a cross and they crucified the creator of heaven and earth because they wanted to sit on their little throne. Let him change you. Let him surgically remove that stone and put in a heart of flesh. I know it costs. I mean, we've all had pain and people have said stuff, you know. But now that he has come, what difference does it? And I'm not trying to be insensitive, guys. I mean, you guys probably know a little bit about my story, you know, everything that we've been through, things with my family. Now that he has come, to me, it's an exposure of everything that my life was before he came was just a lie. It was just a lie. Now that he has come, truth has come. Revelation, understanding, the why behind why he came has come. I now know how to run this race. I now know what to do. These are precious promises that he's given us, church. See, we are meant to be a light that whenever someone sees us, they're meant to go, what is it about Yvette, Carol, Gemma, Helen, Paul, Melvin? What is it about these guys that is just so different? That's the reason, guys. Don't miss that. How are we going for time? Okay. Guys, I'd love to go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to let his word speak. Yeah. How are we going this morning, guys?
Good.
Yeah? Good. Everyone is okay? Good. All right. Okay. Good. Yeah. You're doing better than me when I first got this from the Lord. Oh, man. Goodness me. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Got a 13, Joe. And now, I will show you the most excellent way. I was reading this last night. What is Jesus? He is the way. Which leads to the truth, which then leads to the life. I am the way. The truth comes. Now you know how to live. I guess we don't have any more people issues. I'm not allowed to. Anyway, if I speak, I'm going to read this whole chapter, guys. Sorry. It's just too good. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but not have love, I gain nothing. That is so challenging. It is unbelievable. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where they are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known fully. But now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What does love do? It lays down its life. It keeps no records of wrong. This church is built on the foundation of who? What is Jesus? The day we said yes to him, yes, Lord. What did we say yes to? Heaven? Wrong answer. Not going to run well. You said yes to love coming back in. The day you said yes, that's the day that heaven literally tipped itself off a cliff and went shoom, straight back into you. Boom. Light. Salt. Wow. Oh, I have to contain myself here. Oh, Lord. Oh. See, go over it, guys. It's not okay to come to church and just sing to him, praise him. He is, you know, I was blind, but now I see. You know, and then you leave here, and the first thing you do is you go to a supermarket, and the cashier who's there, who's slow, and you're like, come on, move, I'm in a rush. I'm not preaching perfection, guys. No, I had a patient who came in to me, and he was saying all this stuff, and I laid this out on him, and it was not really, Holy Ghost, it's not my fault. Anyway, he goes, Joe, you're preaching perfection. Okay, no, not really. No, this is what you're called to when you say yes to him. It's his words, guys. It's not mine. I'm not here trying to condemn anyone. I'm here to try to tell the truth so you run well. I want no one in this church, no one in this church to leave here and not know how to run from this point on in your life. Oh, yeah, it was last night. I wasn't going to include, but I am going to include it today, guys. It's in Matthew 18, 23 to 35. Yeah, so Matthew chapter 18. Okay. Jesus answered. So Peter asked him a question. How many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus says, tell you not seven times, but 77 times. So I guess 78's okay to go, nah, don't forgive you. Is that what he says? No. He says, so therefore, the kingdom of heaven is. I read this last night and I almost fell over. What did he put back into us the day that we said yes to him? Love. He put the kingdom of heaven back into us. We didn't pray the prayer to go there. He put heaven back in. So when he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is, he's talking about us because the kingdom is inside. So this is what we're meant to be like. The kingdom of heaven is. Joe, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. As he began to the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, since he was not able to pay. The master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Now, 10,000 talents, guys, it says here it's millions of pounds. It's a lot. The servant fell on his knees, begged him, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, let him go. Let's keep reading. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, few pounds. First debt was enormous. Second debt was relatively very small. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until servants saw what had happened. They were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." This verse 35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." What did he forgive us of? Everything. Everything. How could we walk out of here and if someone says something against us or does something against us, not love them and forgive them? You don't know him. For years I was like that. Yet he was patient with me, going, "Come on, there's another way." And another day would come and there would be another opportunity to shine. Come on. He's patient. He loves us. He's a good dad. Until you get hold of this revelation. And it's what you do with this that defines your legacy. There's a choice to be made, guys. He's not going to make it for you. He's come. It's done. You're forgiven. It's all wiped. Your value has been restored back to the garden before Adam ate the tree. So what do we do with these precious promises? Do we keep animosity? No. We love. Because he sent everything to redeem us. I said this last time. The Lord really laid this on my heart. Heaven went bankrupt to buy us back. It went bankrupt. He virtually goes, "Here's my wallet, take everything. My enemies, come home. I'll make you my kids." There cannot be any unforgiveness in your heart. See, this is the foundation, guys. See, we can learn about, we can speak in tongues and we can give everything you have to the poor. But if you don't know why, if you don't know the reason, it's at zero to God. And your life will be unfruitful. I used to focus on fruit. God's into fruit. He loves fruit. He loves seeds. To multiply after their own kind. So for many years, I would just kind of like look at other people and stuff and maybe kind of like look at my life and I'm like, man, they've got so much fruit. I've got no fruit. No fruit in my life. All the while, God's like, you're focusing on the wrong thing, son. I'm like, how so? Because if all you're doing is focusing on the fruit, because I can understand why you're not going to make any good fruit. He goes, you need to wake up in the morning and understand that you're a good tree. And if you wake up in the morning knowing, oh my goodness me, I'm a good tree because you've made me a good tree. Guess what starts to happen? Fruit. Yeah? Who squeezes an orange? Yeah? My wife knows this one. She likes it a lot. And after they squeeze the orange, has a sip of it, right? It's apple juice. That'd be weird. Yeah? Be very bizarre. I guess why is it so that when this Christian gets squeezed, everything comes out of that Christian except Jesus? I'm not preaching perfection, guys. This is what we were called to be. This is what we are made for. This was the original intention of our creation. Oh, my goodness. That's Mia. Okay. Sorry, guys. My daughter drew a picture. And it's just like, okay. And she writes scripture as well with her little writing. What did you write? From those who pursue me, let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Oh, my goodness. Mimi, you wrote this? Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. No. I want to... Guys, yeah, this is probably very important. I know I'm taking a bit longer today, but please bear with me. I want to go to Colossians, guys, chapter 3. Colossians. Kind of like towards the end, before really, yeah, Thessalonians and Hebrews. Colossians chapter 3. Okay. I guess we'll just read from verse 3. Yeah. Verse 3 to 14. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Sorry, guys. No, that's chapter 1. Sorry. My mistake. Chapter 3. Sorry. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1. Sorry. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self, for the old man with its practices, and have put on the new self, for the new man, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and in all. Did you notice what he said? Put to death. I was told, Joe, these emotions that I have, I don't know, they come from God. Like, how can I be blamed from them? Do not blame God for these things. These came from Adam, not from God. If they came from him, why on earth is he telling us not to massage it, anger management? He says to kill it. He says to remove it. Why? Because when I read that, what that smells like to me, it's the attire of Satan. It's his clothing. From verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's God's clothing. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I want to finish off, church, with going back just, to 1 John chapter 4. I thank you guys. I thank you guys so much for listening this morning. Probably, I know for most in here, I'm not too sure, but it may not have been maybe an easy sermon to listen to. It's a very challenging sermon. It's a very challenging sermon because everything in this world screams against us becoming this. You get pressed. Don't get condemned, get encouraged. Oh, okay. From verse 17, guys, to verse 21. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's not an account to me that you have to give. It's not an account to Paul. It's not an account to yourself in the mirror. We will see him face to face one day, guys. And on that day, all you want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant of love. You denied yourself. I know you missed it, son. That's why you came. I know you missed it, daughter. That's why I came. But you denied yourself. You were willing to forgive those who are unforgivable. You're willing to love those that are unlovable. You listened to me. You guarded your heart. You kept these precious promises. Come home and enter into my rest. Lord. Yes, I just want to thank him, guys. I'm going to finish off with prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you have given us these precious and wonderful promises, and that you came, Lord. You came to restore that which was lost, and that is love. Jesus, you are love. You are light. And you've come to restore us back to the original value of your creation. And I thank you, Lord. You just didn't breathe in dust and hope for the best. You breathed into dust and you made a man and woman in your image and your likeness. And you came back and went on a cross to breathe on us again and go, yes, I can now get back in. I can now transform the world through these little Christ-like ones. I thank you, Jesus, that you paid such a heavy price because you love us and you've made us love. And now we can go out and love like you. Father, I pray that not one spirit, not one soul in here, Lord, misses this. Let this, Lord, enter in, infect, possess, permeate, and then go outwardly into the world, Lord, so that many precious souls out there, dear Lord, that you have paid for, are redeemed and brought back. Because you said, Lord, not one I want to perish. Not one. They're all valuable to me. It is my will, you said, that not one shall perish, but that every single one comes to the revelation of the truth, the value of what they are to me. In the name of Jesus Christ Almighty, amen.